All right, I'm gonna, if you could just quiet down for just a moment. We're all gonna get started here at the meal. I was gonna say ceremonial meal. It's not really a ceremony, it's just a free-form meal. But first, I thought it would be nice to maybe lead us in a little Thanksgiving statement. You can call it a prayer or whatever. I won't just give thanks for you. If I could speak for all of you right now, we could just give thanks before our meal. So let's get started, shall we, saying thanks. Please bow your head, fold your hands, or you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. If you want to give thanks with your face looking up towards the sky and your hands in the air, palms towards the heavens, then please, by all means, do that. If that is against your tradition or something and you're more comfortable folding your hands or balling your fists or putting your hands comfortably in your lap or cradling your face, whatever is your tradition, please do that. That takes precedent. So I am not here to contradict whatever or whoever has authority over you when it comes to those things. Please, do your thing. I'm just leading us in some thanksgiving. And if I give thanks to someone to whom you do not want to give thanks or you feel is against your tradition, please, I want you to, on the inside, be fervently praying against them. Say, no, I don't want to thank who Hardy is thanking. I don't want to thank the assistant manager of a large retail chain. No, why would I? But I would, because maybe help me bring something out to the car. And I found that to be very sweet. He didn't have to do that. So I may give too much thanks, and you might want to pray some away. So do that today. I'm going to go ahead and fold my hands. Why am I going to fold them? So I don't do things. So I don't gesticulate my thanks. Because then I could, what if I hurt somebody? What if I get so exuberant? Because sometimes I get very thankful. I will see all this bounty that we have before us. No, that was a small B. Not everybody thinks, isn't that a good advertising campaign where you can take something like bounty and say, oh, now they think about our paper towel. Isn't that a, we've done a brilliant thing. Have you though? Or have you just ruined some hymns? Because now they seem to be about handy wipes. Or so. Oh, that's another one, isn't it? And there's a beautiful hymn. I think about handy wipes, but I could get confused with that because so many traditions have different beautiful songs of thanks and blessing. I'm not going to sing this one, although I do have a song in my heart when I look at all these beautiful faces around this table, and it's an immense table, and we've been thinking about getting it appraised and taking it in to one of these public television appraise-a-thons they have, and they film you in case you're overwhelmed with thanksgiving, and you begin to weep with gratitude, because that's good television. And then we would find out how much the table's worth, and we'd say, yes, but is it not worth more to us just as a table that we can have fellowship around? And one of the reasons we say that is what a hassle it is to sell. I mean, you say, oh, you could get $300,000 for it. But under what circumstances? What do I have to do exactly? If I have to put it in another one of this U-Totem trucks with myself and some nephews, then what's the point? We also need a table. We just have to go get a cheaper table. This one's good. And then when whoever has possession over it passes away, then you can all fight over it. Don't fight over it. Fight over it now. That's what we should do. We should have some sort of competition. And then, no, it would still be fought over. That's the thing. People want to possess things. But one thing you cannot possess, the greatest blessing, yes. Cousin Eddie, I see you over there. Say, yes, I want to possess one of them biscuits right now. I understand that desire. But there's one thing we can't possess, and that is this opportunity to all be together, this fellowship, this love for one another. Being in one another's company. Well, that doesn't go on forever, and there's no possessing it. Our love cannot act like Lucite. And I wish sometimes it could. I wish I could just pour out my love over you like a plexiglass sealant and you would all freeze in time, but you wouldn't get hurt or anything. I wouldn't, that would be said, oh, well, suffocate and trapped in plastic. I'm sorry. I should have thought ahead a little bit. See, there is no preserving it. By preserving it, you kill it. And I know some of you say, like, I like to kill time sometimes. That's okay. Sometimes we like to kill time. It doesn't sound good when you say it out loud, does it? You go, well, that doesn't sound very good. I know. Well, there you go. Own it. But right now, I'm not killing time. I am giving thanks. And it takes a lot to give thanks. So can't you just say thank you for the food? No, yes, it's more than that, though. To say that ignores all the causes and all the other things that makes the food good. I'm telling you, one of those biscuits under the wrong circumstances would not be as sweet. They're not sweet. Or savory. I understand that. And I look all around the table now tonight at your hungry faces. And you do look so hungry. But you don't really know real hunger. You have this thing before you, this bounty. I can't wait. I'm drowning in my own saliva. Well, that's what that little cup is for. Don't you know your table manners? Just drool into that one. The one with one handle is your coffee, and the one with two handles is for the waterfall of spittle that's going to pour forth in anticipation of this meal. We start the digestive process in our mouths. But it is not our mouths. There's no end in mouths. It sounds wrong when I say that like that, though. In the mouth. But does not, and we know this because we secrete saliva, which starts breaking down the food, or the tongue, if there's no food in there, or the teeth, and you begin to digest yourself. But does not the appetite actually start the digestive process? Does it not actually start with the eyes or the nose? I begin to smell or see an inviting food. Let's say, not a cannoli, though. I always think I want one, but they're so rich. So, oh, I want that cannoli. Looks good. I'll get that. We'll bite into it. And I'm, oh, that's enough. Now I feel like I have a year's worth of food. I'm a cannoli camel. And I could live off of it because it is one tablespoon. I might be exaggerating, 55,000 calories or something like that, which I believe is how many are at this table right now. Are you confused? I mean the regular, when we say calories, I know we mean kilocalories. I'm sorry, cousin. The reason a lot of you are here is because we took that DNA test and we sent it in. And they said, these people are also your family. But I didn't need that to tell me that. I didn't need that to have literal family at this table, though, because a lot of you normally would not be here. And you say, I want to go to see how sickly he is. That's really why I'm interested. Come on. Let's see it. But I lied on that test and said I was related to all of you, that you were all my family. I said, well, we have such differences, you and I. When I was a child, I was treated generally pretty well by my extended family, by my cousins. A lot of them are not here today. Not because they're dead, but you lose track. And they treated me well. But I know that we are now different people. And what if they were so outraged by one of my opinions, and I have four or five of them, that they no longer had that beautiful unconditional love for me that they had for me as a small person. How broken my heart would be. It would almost undo that old love. I'd say, I didn't know it was conditional. But now you don't love me. Not the way you did when I was little and you took me fishing or something. Oh, that would break my heart. Can we not experience that love a little bit? What is it? How could you go from loving me so much to not? Well, I know more about you. Is that it, though? Yes. Is it, though? Yes. Though, is it? Think a little bit. I know that you're anxious to get on with you. Say, aren't we done giving thanks yet? How could I have been? My heart is overflowing. When the good things that have happened to me, they seem more precious the older I get. And I realize now I was finding diamonds where I thought I was just finding old rotten old black walnut husks. But they were diamonds. How do you say? I know. I didn't think it through and I compared those things. I guess they're not diamonds. Not everything is a diamond, but some things are more precious than I realized as time goes on. You know, when you keep something for many years, just having it around for that long. You know, you say, oh my gosh. One day it dawned on me, the cat is 25 years old. It just hit me. One day I thought that. I thought, the cat is 25 years old, and I think that's what killed it. It's my realization, finally. Maybe if I had never really thought about it. But then, would I not be taking it for granted? It had no connection. That's a long time for a cat. Cat made it, I think, another year, even, after my realization. But I was thinking, is that why she has no teeth? Because she's the equivalent, a human equivalent of, I don't know, 500 years old or something. And the oldest cat is still alive, is what I've been told. But that may not, they may or may not be true. If the oldest cat was still alive, that doesn't mean it's 1,000 years old. I know what you're thinking. It just means that maybe the oldest cat is still alive. I have a time machine. So I guess it would mean the oldest living cat is older than any cat that has died of old age, at the oldest age. I know what you're doing. I see you're all looking at the food in a minute. You know what? It's being kept hot in a hot water bath. It's being kept hot on a warming table. There's no need to rush it. So can't we just get to, you always want to get to the thing that you're giving thanks for, and you don't realize how wonderful that time before it is, that time of Thanksgiving, of actually giving thanks and being thankful for something. So let's all pray now. I don't want to pray. We don't have to pray. I'm going to just say thanks. Who are you going to thank? I'm not sure. I don't want to start invoking some one of your deities or anything. I don't want to do that for you. Speaking now, I must go give thanks to, I'll think about good things that have happened to me and then think of the proximate cause. That was the one I noticed, the one that probably preceded it, but isn't necessarily the true cause or the ultimate cause. And that would be, let's say, my mother. Thank you, my mother, for taking me to some of these wonderful family gatherings and get-togethers where I felt loved and warm and I felt a sense of belonging. And an uncle didn't ask me, say, could you kill somebody for the family? No, we don't have to do that. Don't make me do that. I won't. I feel warm and safe in this one. Thank you. Thank you, Mother, for bringing me to all those, whatever they were. I guess they weren't meetings, really. They were Thanksgiving meals or whatever, what have you, or religious meals, or just non-religious ones with an entree and then all sorts of sides that I became used to and as I was growing up. Thank you for that. Thank you that I could always slept under a roof. I don't know how that happened. Well, we stole one for you. All right. Well, uh-oh. Okay. Well, I don't know about the circumstances that happened that are a result of me feeling safe and warm and loved. Maybe things are darker, but I still feel thankful, you know? Oh, my goodness. For any kind of compassion that was shown to me. And now, I want to show that too. That's what I want to do for some. I want to give somebody this sense of thankfulness. Now, maybe it's based on something, some misconceptions, whatever, but I feel in my heart thankful to anybody who is kind. And I want to be that. I don't think I was special. See, I cooked the right message, I think, from it. Because, you know, any fool can really like a kid or love a kid or anything and believe and do horrible things, right? So it's no great, say, oh, but they love their children. So does, I have an acquaintance who is a very angry, psychotic baboon that kills people with his teeth. He's another species, and you go, oh, yeah, but not all baboons are even like that. He's bad. But, oh, he loves his children. But what I'm saying is, it wouldn't be nice to be the love your children part without the killing people with your huge canines, your big fangs that you have, and embarrassing people with your bulbous red protrusion that from your backside or whatever that is. I don't know what it is. I'd love to hang out with my baboon friends, but I just, oh, what is that? I don't know. How does that, something, you're all looking at me like I shouldn't be talking about it. I have lost a lot of my inhibitions as I've gotten older. And the more I give thanks, the more I realize that I should also be thankful for the freedom of my wonderful wandering mind. My mind is like a child from a few decades ago. It was allowed to ride its bike around the neighborhood unattended. And so I was always brought up to think you can really think anything you want. And maybe that's a terrible thing. But what I would do is I would take my bike to the imagination convenience store and buy gum that had Wacky Packs in them, which is art. And I didn't know then that I was getting into, I'm getting into underground comics by just because I like sugar. But it opened up the world for me. And I was allowed to ride there in my brain, in my mind. No one said, don't go, don't think those thoughts. You mean these ones? And you think them, and then they pop up in a comic book or something like that. Oh, I give thanks for all of those who share their imagination with us. You bring it like you bring food to a potluck. All right, you put the pot at potluck, is what I always say at Cousin Willie. Yes, I brought it for you. Look at all the things you bring to the party. Sometimes they're just your beautiful wit or your light manner or just your sweetness. Oh, that's enough. Sometimes you don't need to make anything because you might make some Aunt B pickles, right? You know, ooh, boy, there's a lot of diarrhea that starts with a big second helping of good intentions. And we know that from past experience at these gatherings. I love each one of you in my own way. Oh, I wish I'm going to start something like the Love Sopranos. I've been watching that. And instead of, killing people and everything with the family, I was thinking we could set them up for success or something. Is that naive? I don't know. Say, hey, you stop them in an alley and you go, call that number. Somebody has a job for you. And the job, and it turns out to be something they're qualified to do or really want to do. They go, no way. I want to do that. There you go. There you get your foot in the door. Bless you. Go make that movie. I love you, my friends. You all are awesome in different ways, and you all have brought something different to the table. Some of you, an appetite is all you brought to the table, and others, you spent some time preparing something from a recipe that was handed down to you. And you can, that could be anything. So what did you bring? Oh, I brought a special kind of paper I learned to make. Fantastic. That's great. What are we doing with that? Well, I'm going to show you how to do some, maybe some folding with it, folding art. I love that. That would be fantastic. How will I know when I'm old enough to sign up for some classes doing things that I really secretly want to do? I don't know. I'm going to have to wait. I'll just wait until I've lost more inhibitions. I haven't lost them all, quite all of them yet. And not to the point where I could be the docent at a whiskey distillery. Step right this way. Oh, I was on a tour the other day and I thought of all of you. I was. It was interesting. You know, it's interesting how we approach the past and talk about it without talking about it. Because, you know, sometimes you want the truth. And you're just surrounded by people with big grins on their face who don't quite want to hear that. I say, no, you'd be amazed how, like, it's like, I don't want to make everything about your colon, but you're doing your no favors by holding it in. You know, let it out. Let it out. Go ahead and have a good long evacuate all that nastiness. And we'll put something new in there. There's somebody, what is that, hummus or something y'all brought? That looks good. I know. I love it. There's a whole series that looks like a veggie dips. over there. And I'm not talking about your family. And we're going to get into it in just a minute. But this is not over. So can I, I'm going to ask you a question. I know we're praying, Hardy. Yes. But I just want to put my head up for a minute. Dude, that's all right. What is it? I have a, it's my neck. It's bad. I got a bad neck and you're causing me to look down like that. And I said, I told you that if it was something that was counter to what was good for you, don't do it. Don't listen to me. I'm not, this isn't, I don't even, don't feel bullied or anything into giving thanks. You don't want to give thanks. Bless you. Don't have to. What can I start eating? That's the only thing I'm asking you not to do is eat yet. Oh, my word. I just thought we could all, and I put just in there so I don't have to take responsibility. We could all just have a little formal Thanksgiving before we reap. And yes, we will be reaping, just like the gremlin. All right? Something has to die before something can be born. That was what I, that's really the FMU way. WFMU. If something needs to be, go, oh, I love this new show. It's on the, but it's, I'll tell you what it's growing in. It's growing in the rotting dead remains or fertilizer of the show that is now gone. So what are you growing in? I don't know. I don't know. I don't like to think about it. But we must all honor and be thankful for the soil in which we are growing or sinking. It depends. You're both growing and sinking in it. Right? You're not merely soaking in it. Say, imagine, am I just soaking in this? No, you're actually being consumed arm first by this liquid. It's really almost a being. It's sentient. It's sucking you in. It's eating you. This dishwashing syrup. And yes, I said that on purpose. All right? Don't let it consume you. That's what they say. Say, you are the consumer, but you're not. You're the consumee. They're making it look like you're the consumer. You're not. Look behind you. There's a bigger fish eating you. Why aren't we having fish? This is why we're not having fish today. Because I went and I invited a bunch of animals. And I just felt hypocritical eating the animal in front of the animal. I do have some ethics. I don't want to do that. So, you know, a lie about, you know, where's my nephew? I don't know. But I'm not going to eat the nephew in front of the person's aunt. And sometimes it is an aunt. I was, you know, oh, so it's chocolate-covered aunt's okay. For me, it's about relationships. I try not to. I don't eat friends or anything. But listen to me, right now we're going, aren't the plants your friends? Not for long, because I'm going to eat them all up in a minute. This salad's going to hate me. But before I even do that, I know that there are circumstances that conspired to bring me here, and I'm overwhelmed by that. I don't even know sometimes if I'm giving thanks or I just feel overwhelmed. You know? Relieved. And I don't know what to do with that feeling all the time. Sometimes I'll thank anybody. I'm just grateful. And that gratitude. Well, why are you grateful? Sometimes you're grateful even when bad things happen? No. No, I'm not. That's why I try to time it as to where I speak out my gratitude in times where I'm able to. Because I know that other times I'm going to be complaining or something. But I would like people I love to know that I do love them. And then I realize that you are a source of my joy. And that you are all a source of my being alive, even. We keep one another alive, literally. I need all these people. I don't stock the grocery store. I need to live among all these people. We're all doing different things in our way. Some of us aren't. Some are, some aren't. But you got to have a lot of people. You know that. If you're going to get, like, let's say you want to have a family and you say, well, I want to make sure one of the children at least is a lawyer. You got to have, like, I don't know, 13 or something. Just, you know, if you really want to get a lawyer or something like that, who needs a lot of us? So not everybody's going to do that. We can all do different things. Oh, you can pass the mashed potatoes and you can pass the bread, but you can't pass this. What's that? It's a whole coconut. I'm not going to sing my praise. I'm not going to sing my Thanksgiving always, but sometimes you have to. That's why music seems like, oh, music seems sacred, doesn't it? Certain sounds we make, we recognize they come from a place in our soul, and nothing can express that feeling except for something that seems like music. And I think it would go a little like this. I can't do it. I can't do it well, but you've all felt it, haven't you? You've watched the TV, haven't you, cousin? I mumble your name because every year I go, oh, I know it begins with an M. Miriam. Marianne. 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 I'm sorry about that, cousin Marianne. Now I feel extra full. Now I've already forgotten it. Miriam. Marianne. Dang it. It doesn't make me love you less. You know, it's like when you finally have to type somebody's name, you kind of remember it too. And I'm going to go home and type your name, Meredith, after this. I know I will. Why do we forget some things and not remember others? Freud asked that question. And he answered it and he wrote it down. And years later, we have that writing. And I have it here, and it's in the back of one of our family Bibles, which is weird. I think maybe he was on public transport with one of our ancestors, and he said, please, do you have something I could write on? And he said, I guess it's my Bible. And then Freud wrote in the, it's called the Freud Bible now, I think, and it's worth a lot of money. Not as much as this table. And for that, we give thanks. Sometimes we don't realize what is this table? The table's probably the radio station, isn't it? We're all eating on this. Is your food sitting on the radio station, my friend? I see y'all out there. I see you in the distance. It's a big table, so I got to look way down there to see some of you. But I see you there. I'm thinking you're on the comments board on Thanksgiving. That's where I would be if I had my iPad. But I do, and I do have it under the table. I'm going to sneak a look at it because sometimes the dinner goes on and on. But the food is good, but you wait so long to eat it, then you put too much on your plate, and then and this is it, and then that's kind of it. And it's over. I like the anticipation of it. I like working it out. Say, oh, look who's coming through the door now. Who is it? I don't know. I don't recognize you. I'm sorry. I come to these things so infrequently. Then why are you giving the Thanksgiving? I'm giving it because I don't often get to talk to y'all. And I thought if I monopolize your time up here by saying, again, it doesn't have to be a prayer. One of the reasons that my hands are together, like I said earlier, is to keep me from making broad gestures. And all of a sudden I would be, the next thing you know, there would be puppets on my hands, and I would be given some kind of puppet show. And then there'd be, I'd say, oh, it's easier just to get actors to do what the puppets are doing, and I'd bring in actors, and all of a sudden you'd get essentially what is dinner theater, except that you're not allowed to eat yet. And this might go on, this might evolve as to where the theater actually becomes reality. And then we all are living in some kind of play that started as a prayer at the beginning of an imaginary dinner. At this point, if I was saying a religious prayer in a particular denomination, I would say the name of the deity. Your name here. We call out to you because we do not know who else to call out to. You can just put anybody in there. Charlie Callis or somebody. We call out to you because we should just do it random. I literally should just pick a name in the phone book and say, I call out to you because I don't know who else to call out, to whom to call out. You're waiting for that preposition, but it won't come because I already used it. Did that ever happen to you? You're coaching a team saying, I have one more timeout, but you don't. You already used it. Or you think, I have one more bullet in this gun, in this OK Corral gunfight, but you don't. You already used it. What's the point of your story? I think you know. Refresh me. All right, I don't know. But it is a truth. I mean, always check, see how many of something you got, because you might have used the last one. That's all I'm saying. It's just a good rule. Insert it into whatever you want. I don't have an agenda. That's not how, when you pray from the heart, you don't have an outline or something. Yes, you could think about it in the shower for a while or something and go on a couple walks and try to piece together a mental template. Say, okay, these are points I'm going to hit like that. We'll start talking about the table and everything, manners of praying. But other than that, you're truly speaking from the heart. You're saying, I am unafraid to go out on that arena, take off all my clothes, and then instantly regret it and start screaming. Then you really start screaming, and then it really is sincere. You say, I'm terrified. I'm afraid you're all going to judge me. Oh, and you are. You know, some harshly, some not. I can see some faces out there now saying, will there be no end to this Thanksgiving prayer? And that's a valid question. And now you might resent me because I'm delivering the message. From whom are you delivering the message, sir? From your mom. Now there's a big fight. Now there is a fight over the table. That I worry about. That I'm going to do that. I don't want to do that to you. Can I get a hug? I'm so sorry. I think it's blood sugar. I know I'm doing this to myself. We should say, okay, let's stop and eat. And maybe you can do a grace after meal. Like some people do. So, oh, that one's even longer, though. And then you really, I don't, which is you more impatient about? The prayer that becomes first or after the meal? You say, well, the after the meal can be longer because people already ate. Yeah, but they're not feeling as thankful. Yes, exactly. That's why they should give thanks after they've already gotten the thing. And so that is like paying off something on a credit card after you've already eaten the meal. So, oh, I just haven't paid for that meal at Chez Trey. And then you go, oh my gosh, it was hundreds of dollars. Why did I think I could show off for my friends? Eat all that expensive food. You know how much this cost? This meal we're having right now cost tonight? Do you know how much it was? Think about it. What was the price of your meal? Where did it come from? Who prepared it? What about those people's lives? Who are they? Who are they to you? We can think about the origin of things together. The origin, I said. You said orange. I may have, but I misspoke. Again, I'm like you. I am not without drool. My mouth is like a cave that you should only go in at low tide, because otherwise, you're going to drown. Because I am thinking about the food that's before us. I'm trying to also think about the food that my soul needs. Yes, oh, your soul is hungry. Where does it want to go? It says, come on, just pull over right here. I don't care if we go to a Stuckey's, or I've got to have something right now. Your soul is crying out. You know it's been on a long cross-country car trip for hours and hours and hours. It is not enough that you just shove something in my soul hole. I need something of sustenance. Take me to one of these restaurants off of the highway of my experience. This desolate highway that stretches out, how long till we get there? Nobody knows. Who knows when the next opportunity to fill my soul will come along? I gotta pull over now. Please pull over. Pull over right now. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding. Pull over. You gotta pull over. Pull over. Bah, 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 bah. I'm not feeling good. This ride is making me uneasy. I need something to quiet my conscience. Is that what my stomach is? Could you give me something? Bismuth? I can't think of anything else. Something else, you know. They should not call milk and magnesia milk. They shouldn't put the word milk in it, I always thought. They probably call it something else now. But that was repulsive enough that it's not going to work to calm my stomach when you're making me think I'm drinking milk that's made out of rocks or something. That makes me gag. Yeah, it's ground up rock milk. You're right, I'm not nauseous anymore. I'm not nauseous right now. I have been and I will be again, I'm sure. So yes, I feel thankful. Well, that's not really anybody's, there's no one to thank. Well, I still feel gratitude. It might be a brain thing. When good things happen to me, maybe it's not, you know, maybe it isn't rational that I want to give thanks. Maybe it is luck. Maybe nobody had anything to do with all the good things that bring me happiness and joy and contentment. You know? Maybe I didn't even do it. Maybe nobody did it. But there is something in me that wants to return kindness with kindness. And so even if the universe, the fate, something that has no eyes or ear, that is indifferent to me, has done something for me, I still feel this weird sense of gratitude because I want it to love me back. And I love it, and I want that to be because of love, you know? And that, I think, is just a quirk of being alive, because we know we do that with each other. If you show me kindness, it's easy to thank you. But there's things that happen to us where we're not sure what the cause is. We still feel that urge. And so people have made deities and things to thank. You know, and maybe they are out there doing things. And in which case, that would probably be a good reason. But I think the urge comes separate from that, whether that's true or not. I think it's just, we think something's been done to us, for us. And we want to say thank you because we want that relationship to stay intact. We want that reciprocity. We like that feeling. We can give each other good feelings, I think. And so I want to make sure that all the people around this table understand that they're special to me and that I recognize what you've given to me. And for that, I am grateful. And you are at least the proximate cause of that. And so for that, I would like to show you kindness, and we'll have sort of kindness club, and it will make our lives better. I guarantee it. I've seen it happen. So let's go around the table, and everybody gonna tell me three things. One of them has to be a lie. Go.
I'm enjoying this prayer.
I know that was a lie. And everything now you say is going to be not a lie. Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you are. Maybe you're sitting there going, I just ate like 50 rolls of candy. And I can't eat my food right now. I'm so glad that Cousin Hardy is taking so long to say grace. Which I am. And maybe it is because you don't want to eat right away. Maybe you're with your family now. Could you introduce me to your family? Hey, I listen to a fellow on the radio, and do you want to tune in right now and see what he's saying?
All right.
Now, sometimes it's all it's sometimes it's funny, and he seems to say good things.
All right, just put it on.
All right, I'll put it on before we eat, and then we can eat after we listen.
All right, just put it on. The sooner we get it over with.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Hardy Watt. Yes, I am. Your relative there has been listening to my radio show, and they wanted to share me with you. And so now I am coming into your home, and I am so grateful to be here. I notice it smells a little familiar, and I don't know what that is. It is a smell of... It isn't pork chop as much as it's carpet that's had pork chop cooked around it for a couple decades. Is that right? Because I had that smell in a house one time that I bought from the Salvation Army. You think I'm kidding. But in reality, the Salvation Army, they're like a, they're like a church. And so they have a manse sometimes for the captain of the local army. And this captain lived in a manse, and they were once selling that manse. They said, we need to sell the manse because it smells like pork chop carpet. And so I said, I'm interested in looking at this budget house. And I looked at it and I said, all right, here's my offer. And they said, all right. And I bought it from the Salvation Army. So I might be one of the few people who's ever bought a house from the Salvation Army. And I can prove this. You don't need to, sir. All right. I'm glad that we have come to an understanding. And so now I have come into your house, and I smell a familiar smell, and it reminds me of my own house, and I feel welcome here. Well, sir, you're mistaken. We don't have any pork chops going. I'm just glad to be here. Your relative and I are good friends. They've been listening on the radio now for a while, and I love having them. And I try to say things that aren't going to, I don't want to poison a mind. Aren't all words essentially, though, a sort of mind poison? Isn't it like, poetry is like, here's why it's like tobacco. You get too much and you get very, very sick. Not enough, and you're going to, I don't know, be nervous. But you don't need it, though. I don't know. I'm so sorry. I wish they hadn't mentioned me to you. Now I feel bad. I feel like an imaginary friend, and then it turns out I'm not imaginary, and then it turns out I'm not interesting. And now here they have dragged me into your home through your radio. Maybe it's not even your radio. Maybe it's you can use the computer as a radio, can't you? Yes, I can. I'll put it on in there. Maybe there's none of you left. I'm going back to the kitchen now. Maybe it's just the relative who wanted to introduce me. We're back alone, aren't we? Did I chase them off? Oh, don't worry about it, man. It's just my uncle. Yeah, but I wanted him to like me. Yeah, but he doesn't like that sort of stuff. What sort of stuff, exactly? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm inefficient, maybe, at speaking to people all the time. I'd like you to be my friend, but if I went up and said that, you'd think there's something wrong or something. You'd know there was something wrong with me. But that's how I feel. I feel like my heart has been corrupted by love. I think I was shown patience and love and mercy, and now I just have a lot of it, and I'm trying to give it away. I am. It's like somebody, I know you're suspicious, because it would be like if I was at your flea market. I've been to your flea market. First of all, it's very suspicious to begin with. But you would be suspicious that I had a stall at the flea market and it said everything free. You go, what? Does it have bed bugs? Is it radioactive? If there are radioactive bed bugs, is there a chance one of them could bite me and I'd be a superhero? Yes, and your superpower would be sleeping all day. All right, no thanks. Your superpower would be, you'd be a big red mark on somebody's leg. All right, enough. And you say, why would somebody be giving something away? Does that not mean it is worthless? But isn't the greatest thing in the world a thing that we give away every day? What? Carbon dioxide? No, I don't know. I was going to say love, but that, some people charge. I think it's carbon dioxide, which is a gift to the plants. They say, do you realize that the thing that you breathe out is like this thing that I not only get kind of get me high, but I need it, you know. No, I did not realize that. It's like you and oxygen. Yes. Oh, it's always good to have a plant as a kind of a partner. And you can get ones that live really a long time. You can get plant that'll outlive you. I think some of them, when you get the plant, you have to check with your children to make sure they're willing to inherit the plant. So this bonsai is like a parrot. How is that? It repeats everything. It's a tiny tree, indeed. But it's a very special tiny tree. Because whereas a parrot repeats the things that you say, this bonsai tree repeats the things that you think. Out loud? No, to itself. Really? Yes. So if you think something, and you think it a lot, that tree is thinking it a lot too.
No.
Yes. I don't want that. Well then, there you go. Get yourself a bonsai tree and treat it like a thought parrot. I think that my grandfather used to pray that, and then I've just gotten a habit of doing it. It's almost like rote. I don't know if you've ever had any of that, but it's very similar. And you just start to internalize those lessons. Do you mind if I undo my hands just for a minute? Ah! I should have had them just like together, like the praying hands sculpture. I had them locked, like this is the church, this is the steeple. And then I was doing that. I was doing the steeple part with my index fingers. So I was secretly gesticulating, even though my fingers were interlocked. Now my arthritis is killing me. I just got to take a little hand. I'm not done praying or giving thanks. I just needed to work my hands here for a minute. I'm just getting a little chilly. I should put them over the warming plate, right? Who brought that Sterno? Dude, there's Sterno. That's fantastic stuff. We could have, you know what we could have next year? Fondue. I'm serious. I think we could have fondue next year. I'll tell you what not to have, and that's because the raclette heater is broken, is raclette. So, but the fondue, we could have that. That would be delicious. And not the kind that they used to have in restaurants in the 80s that would be a boiling tub of oil and you stick raw chicken in it. I just think that's a bad idea. Why? Never put raw chicken in front of the customer. Because they just have not been trained what to do with raw food, right? And there you're going to get somebody sick. And then the place smells like oil. It's in everything. Don't have one of them places, okay? All right. You can do the cheese fondue. But don't do the hot oil fondue. That was just a bad trend. And I'm telling you, it changed the world for the worse. And then they finally stopped doing it. But it didn't undo all the damage that was done, all the lives that were wrecked by that. I'm not done. I'm not done just because I slowed down. If you were at a symphony and it got real quiet, as to where the flutes were just like, this happens in Scheherazade. So is Scheherazade over? Is she done telling the story? No. The bassoon hadn't even kicked in yet. You know? So if I should become quiet or my voice trail off, it does not mean that there is not a flood of feeling and thought right behind it. Because the heart and the mind flow as a river. And you say, well, this is the calm part of the river, but the rapids are just about to start. Do not be lulled into a feeling, a false feeling, a false feeling of sense, a false sense of feeling of sense of security. Feeling. Or else you will fail to navigate the boat. You will let go of your oar. You will let go of your and, I always say. You will let go of the thing you have that acts as a conjunction. I don't want you to follow me. I would have asked. I would have said, are you following me? And you would have said, no, but I don't want to know. I don't want to know if you're back there. I'm trying to lose you. I want to be alone. No, I don't. I don't want to be alone. I want you with me. Not, okay. I mean, is it appropriate for me to be alone? Then I don't want you with me. I want what you want. What do you want? You don't know. I don't, you don't know what you want. I don't know what you want. I don't know what I want. You don't know what I want. Wow, that's going to, what a great relationship we're going to have. Trying to please each other, can't please ourselves. Oh my goodness. What a crazy, crazy world we live in. Is there anything that we can do to make it less crazy? I say that we give in to some of our urges, like giving thanks, like being ourselves. What's that even mean? I'd say unguarded. Just unguarded. Why guard? You know, what are you afraid of? I think I was, when you can get away with, as a child, it's wonderful because nobody expects you to be anything, your behavior to be anything but sort of chaotic and unselfconscious, right? They expect you to be unselfconscious and they laugh at you. Nobody feels threatened by you, but you grow up and everybody's now they're somehow threatened by you. So if you do something that's unselfconscious, it's horrifying. Right? Or you see something wrong with you. But you get to be old again and you get a pass. And that's just wrong. I think you should get to be, you know, self-consciousness can be crippling too. So can I just, like, I don't know exactly who I am, but you know, you're cutting off avenues. I would like to explore it. Can't I look around for me? Do I have to pretend to not be? Oh, you can be whatever you want to be around old Hardy. Say, I know you don't know who you are. Just get, you know, pick a bunch of stuff. See what fits right. You don't go when you go into a store like that. You say, I'm going to try on different things. I don't know. And they say, what kind of suit do you look good in? You go, I've never had a suit. I don't know. Can I put some suits on and we'll see? Yeah, all right. I'm afraid to pick until I've, you know, seen some options here. Oh, yes. When I was growing up, I was always told that in the Soviet Union, you could not pick your own profession, that it was picked for you in school. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that sounds like paradise. Oh, I wish somebody would just tell me. I don't care what they pick. I really don't. Astronaut, garbage man. I had to do both with equal fervor. But it's just making me decide is agonizing when I don't know myself. So I always thought that sounded good. But I don't think that was true. It's not true. It's true and it's not true, I guess, you know. People do assign aptitude towards you. You're good at this. You ought to do this. You know? You ought to go, because you gave a good, I love the Thanksgiving prayer you gave at last year's Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you. Did you ever think of being either clergy or having, I don't know, a law firm or a cult or, no, I don't. I got given the prayer because I was just, you know, feeling grateful and all that. And I've heard some good ones given. And I was just, a lot of it is repeating what I'd heard. And so, yes. But no, I don't know that I want to do that. All right. When I was a child, if I was ever argumentative in school, they would say, well, you'd make a good lawyer. And I go, really? Is that just what it's about? It's just being contrarian? I don't know about that. I feel like I'm doing it because I'm full of anger. And now you're saying that your profession should be based on that sense of rage and aggression that you have. All right, oh, that's fantastic. Why don't I cultivate that? You seem troubled. You should be do some sort of spectacle that's damaging to yourself. Oh, that sounds good. Play to your strengths. But my strengths are causing my own destruction. Ah! All right. Well, that's tragic. I don't want to be tragic. Just want to be happy and joyful. That's what I want to be. And so I'm going to have to live up or down to my own expectations and not those of others. I'm sorry. I love you all. I really do. But you may be ambitious for me in a way that I am not for myself. You may envision me doing something or playing a role that I am not comfortable playing. And for all with stings and gangsters, it might look... Somethings and appearances. I forget the cliche. It might... Balls and... It's not balls and appearances. For all... That may seem like something I should do, but it is not substantively who I am. And so I will continue to be some sort of hybrid person who longs to give thanks, but who does not know to whom to give thanks. That is I, and that's who I will continue to be. And I will continue to take what many people think is a long time to say very little. But I suggest that you get the cassette of this Thanksgiving prayer that I have given, and that'll be fantastic. And then you can listen to it over and over again. No, I'm kidding. There is none. There is none. No, there is none. We're not recording this. This is just our family prayer. Yeah, I see you out there, Cousin Eddie. I know what you've been doing. I don't want to be your cousin anymore. No. Yeah, I know what's been going on. And then I might say a cuss word. Yeah. I seen you. That's just a nod to the cassettes that we used to get at Thanksgiving, that we don't get those anymore. Oh, my friends. I'm thankful for you. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for going on rides with me. Thanks for going on trips with me. Thanks for sitting next to me and taking my hand, making me feel like I belong somewhere. Thank you for going along on this Thanksgiving with me, Hardy White. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, where the miracles continue to happen exponentially, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. And you can listen there, and that's what you're doing. Just to let you know what you're doing. So I thought we were going to eat. We are. And just a couple more minutes, there's going to be music, all right? And we're going to eat, and we're going to have fun. Are you sure? Yes. It looks like maybe it's cold. It's not cold. Is the cheese dip supposed to have a film over it? Yes. Yes. That might be saran wrap. It's not. It's just a hard layer of cheese because it's cold. I think that, no, I don't know what that is, but I think it's all right. I don't think it's gone cold yet. You need to say amen. Oh, I didn't. I thought the station ID was a sort of amen. No, Oh, that's why y'all still have your heads down. I'm so sorry. Y'all look so great that way, so reverent. I love it, though. It moves my heart. My heart is moving right now. Anybody got a truck? Would you like to help me? I'll pay you in pizza and beer. Have you helped move my heart? Yeah, I helped move your bowels last week. I didn't get anything. All right, well, that you be quiet there, Uncle Henry. Is everybody named Henry? All right, well, I think there's only one thing left to say, and that is amen. Shemp jive, everybody.